WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I let my hair down because I'm into it. It's a let your hair down kind of spring into summer here. Preakness is over. We have events happening. We have vacations happening. I'm seeing the caps and the gowns and the graduates and kids getting out of school. They go back to school in August. It's crazy. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. We're going to be at Spirits West. We're going to be also out at Shannon's as well in Halethorpe. We have lots and lots of places to get to. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. We had a great time up at the local in Falston. But getting out, I think, is going to be the theme of this segment. This guy actually stays in. He is our chief digital officer at Web Connection. He keeps our website rocking and rolling, but much like everybody else to the plague, and I know you have children that live in other places, you like baseball, you like sports, you like concerts, all the sort of things that I do. It turns out that you and I didn't even recognize you. You like smell good. You're all dressed nice and you had a jacket. Networking and getting out, it's starting to feel like the plague's rearview mirror a little bit, Mike. And I would say seeing you at a networking event that Ryan Ripken's doing, then going to another networking event, going up, seeing people, and then everybody coming up to me and talking baseball and football and the horse race last week. God, it almost feels like it's normal again, Mike Rosenfeld, doesn't it?
It does. It's slow, but it definitely feels like it's in the rearview mirror for sure. But it's always nice. I think your listeners who network can relate to this. I show up at this event. I'm walking in by myself. I'm a guest of someone else, so I at least know one other person that's going to be there. I know Baltimore is, they call it Smalltimore, but I walked into that event and did a quick lap around and didn't really recognize a lot of people. I was surprised because normally I would, there'd be a nice handful.
You looked really too happy to see me. It was a little weird, I mean,
who, me?
Yeah, I must have been an oasis in a desert of.
Yeah, I was happy to see you. If I don't know if that's what you said, but it was always happy to see someone, so I walked up, said hello.
So you looked a little too happy to see you.
That's right.
Oh, finally, I found somebody. Oh, exactly. Even if it is you.
It's exactly, there's nothing more awkward than just standing there walking around.
But dude, the whole idea isn't for you and I to go have, even though we love each other, we never get together. I haven't been in a room with you in a long, long time. But like, I don't want to see you there. I mean, I already know you. I mean, it's,
networking event's
supposed to be to other people, right?
Yeah, but if you extrapolate it, it wasn't like this, but if you're sitting at a bar with a buddy and you want to meet people, it's good to have a wing person. So that's the way I look at it. It's always good.
Especially one that's as well-dressed as you, at an event like that. So,
well, it wasn't lost on me that you said, why don't you wear that when we do our segments? Because I'm always in a t-shirt, a nicer t-shirt, but a t-shirt nonetheless.
It's your Gates look. It's fine. You got your Gates thing going on, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. So, I had to put on the monkey jacket, as I call it, because that's what the event called for. Didn't want to be disrespectful. But yeah, it was good to see you. I did see a couple old friends, business friends, and got to catch up with people. It was right before this ICSC Vegas thing, which a lot of people were
the junket, everybody's on but me.
We're going to be headed out, which I was able to do last year, was unable to make it happen this year, but hope to be invited back next year and do it again. But yeah, look, I'm a firm believer in you just got to be out there and you got to be seen. Even as a outsourced chief digital officer, one of my mantras is to my client is you got to be seen, and most of that's done digitally with online ads or social media posts and just being relevant and out there. But doing it in person is extremely, extremely important. I mean, just getting out there and creating relationships.
You know what the amazing thing for me, and this is really a gift to you and to all my partners and clients and sponsors and friends and supporters and people that stay with me through not just thick and thin, but with this Ravens nonsense that's going on the last year's illicit nonsense that they've been doing. Getting out and seeing people and being in places and randomly having people shout mainly really nice things at me, you know what I mean? In one way or another. But the networking part of just the last week, it's interesting that we talked networking this week because I began Thursday morning. I ran into you at Mike Tisch's event, the Connects event. Ryan Ripken was there. He was as good a speaker in that environment as I have ever seen. And that includes his father. That includes my partner, Brian Billick, you know, decorated people. I just thought it was, he was fantastic. And then I left and I had a lunch appointment with a business client. And then that night, my wife and I got invited down to the Center Club. First things first, we were late getting there because of traffic. We'll say that again. We were late getting to an event in downtown Baltimore because of traffic. I want everybody in the audience to think of the last time you were late for something in Baltimore because of traffic. Now, you all have memories of sitting on the Beltway in the 90s and the aughts listening to my, you know, my show or whatever, being stuck somewhere or whatever. Traffic is something we have in New York and LA and DC Beltway, you know, or on the way to Ocean City. But like traffic in downtown Baltimore has been a long, long time. So the Oriole game let out and we got there and we went up to the top of the Center Club and Steve Cimino invited me. And there were name tags for Sashi Brown, John Harbaugh, and Eric DaCosta. I thought it was going to be a much more interesting evening than that. None of those guys posted. but nonetheless, I was up there. And there were 40 or 50 people. My wife walked in and she's looking pretty and rich. It's her first networking event since like 2019, probably. I don't remember her being on my arm with a name tag at a cocktail kind of event because we couldn't have them. You couldn't plan them last year. For 2 years, we didn't have them. If they were planned, we didn't have them. So it's been a long time. And she said to me, "I don't know many people in the room. Do you know anybody in here?" And I said, "Yeah, probably half the people in here. You know, there's 50 people. I'm like, I know half of them." She's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "I get out. You know, you haven't been with me lately, but I get out." So we, you know, talked to people at a beautiful, we had just the greatest time. We wound up watching Eddie Lauer play down at the Horseshoe came in on. We wound up having food at a meet. We wound up staying downtown all night, Thursday night. And then, you know, so like we had a great time. I didn't even put any of that online. I don't even think I put my chicken parm that I got at Amici's, but it was delicious. It was even more delicious as a leftover. Saturday, went to the Preakness, and man, the Preakness was great. And look, I can't get past the fact that the toilets don't flush, the elevators don't work, you're out in the middle. But if you went to the event and you bought a ticket and you paid a little too much for it and you got weather and you got Bruno Mars, it's a great day for Baltimore, Mike. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to like races, and certainly the PETA people were out. There's a lot of protesting going on about the animals and the death of the animals. I ran into Bob Baffert after he lost his horse. It was awful, awful memory for me and my wife to see him, just to see how upset he was walking off the track. Because we walked in as he was walking out after the horse fell on Saturday. But the networking part that you bring up, And here's what I want to say, not just for Baltimore Positive, but for sports and for what I'm known for, the Orioles, the Ravens, my last name, baseball, all that. The fact that there's this heartbeat about the Orioles again for just a couple of weeks. Imagine if this goes on for a couple of years, which is how we all got involved in the beginning in 79 and 83 and getting Camden Yards built and all that. But I do feel like the Preakness, the Orioles, what it represents, the Ravens, and what they represent for the community and bringing people together. The Preakness was really a wonderful thing. And to your point, networking, it's not about people from Philadelphia or New York or DC. It's really networking is the most local of local things we can do.
Yeah. I'm feeling you, everything you're saying. And while you're talking, I'm just doing a quick Google search. I know we're going to go back to networking because, you know, I believe in it significantly. It's helped me get where I am today. But did you by any chance see the Orioles City Connect uniform unveiling and video? Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. It's a Baltimore Pride thing made up by Nike that is, yes, very much so.
And there's a local poet who's done stuff for the Ravens.
Correct.
He's done stuff for the city. Kundwani Fidel, I believe
correct.
His name, probably mispronouncing it. Brilliant poet.
Has books of poetry, correct, yes.
Yeah, for sure. I actually have one of his poems, which talks about the analogy between Baltimoreans and crabs. And you would think that would be pretty contrived and too simple, but I heard it.
Survivors, man.
The first time, I almost cried. I'll admit it, because I'm a homer. And you know, I look at my kids and a lot of my kids' peers who don't live here by choice, and just feel an ultimate connection to the city that maybe the younger generation doesn't feel.
There needs to be a reinstallation of pride, of
right.
True That's Baltimore positive, true Baltimore pride. I'm proud of being from Baltimore. I lead with it. I lean into it, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I do too. I'm by no means embarrassed. It's very interesting because my wife is from Detroit, but when people ask her where she's originally from, she says Michigan. And I don't know any Baltimorean that would say I'm from Maryland. And I think that there's a distinction there if you really cut through it, that you know that we that I don't know any Baltimorean that says I'm from
And how
Maryland.
about this? Every person you speak of has such wacky pride in the Maryland flag to have it on their underwear. Or like we have a, like Texas, their flag's more about guns than it is about whatever the star represents, like literally, because that's what it, and the same thing with Mississippi, with the Confederate flag really represents something very ugly. The Maryland flag is something I don't even know what the hell the Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, Virginia, I don't know what any of their flags look like. Everybody knows what our flag looks like, and Under Armour putting it on football jerseys and, you know, being a part of it. But we have a wacky, wacky state flag that everybody takes pride in the flag, right? Like it's weird. And then we piss on Baltimore regularly. And I don't go for it. Neither does Jane Miller, which she's the first one that really burred up and said she wasn't having it in her conversations anymore. That anybody that decides that I'm out in Hunt Valley, that it's okay to piss on Baltimore and Bel Air, stop. Just stop that right. Somebody did it to me in Falston the other day. Stop. Stop. You know,
when you say they did it, what exactly are you referring to? Like
I will be fully, as I always am here, honest. I'm at this beautiful, have you ever been to the local in Falston?
I have not.
Okay. So I made a mistake in the conversation of taking the conversation at one point in a different lane, and the person across from me perceived it differently. You can go listen to the conversation, watch it. I did 4 hours of conversation. I had Clancy, Fancy Clancy was my guest at the local. So I'm up there and I'm in this beautiful newish, it's been open a year and 9 months, and there I would say, and I would say it's the Ruth's Chris of Falston, but it's not like a Ruth's Chris. It's more the menu's different than that. It's the local. Everything's local. The beers are local. Food's local. Local people. Lou runs it. The chef just won. Zach won Chef of the Year from the Restaurant Association of Maryland. And I'm in a conversation there, and I just said, man, I remember coming to Falston. It was a cow town. There was nobody here. None of this was here. There was a Chili's up in Bel Air you could go to or whatever. And all of the Loonies and the McGurks and all the people that have gone up there, Libs Grill, De La Rose's, everybody went, you know, all of my people, all of the Dundalk people that I grew up with, class of 85 in that range, 70% of them live up in Harford County, right? And I said to them, oh, now you don't need to go to the city to have like this kind of, and that probably was, right? Because it's true that Bel Air has great places to eat now. There's a Barrett's on the pie. I mean, great crab cakes. I mean, Pappas is in Bel Air. Like, that's good. And I just walked into my own manure, right? By saying, oh, you have great stuff up here now where you can get this kind of a meal. And the local was great. The crab cake was delicious. They had this great chicken sandwich. I was right across from Royal Farms. I felt a little dirty, like getting a chicken sandwich being near Royal Farm, but it was delicious. I brought home the cheesesteak egg roll. Delicious. But there is something perjurative, right? Where you say, oh, now we don't have to go into, we have, oh boy. But it is nice that these things are out there, but it does give someone the, yeah, I don't need to go down there no more, you know? And I'm like, man, that's not really what I was going at. That's not really where I was taking the conversation.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, going back to the Detroit thing, having gone there multiple times a year for the last 30 plus years, they very much have a strip center dining and social experience because people don't go downtown. So that's kind of what you're describing is, you know, there's a
the local is behind the Waffle House and a Dunkin' Donuts, and it's as good a meal as you're going to get in any go to New York this week. I mean, it's like it's phenomenal, and there's a line to get in, and it's small and it, like whatever, but it's it's great and it's in Falston. And when you say it's great and it's in Falston, that seems to be a reason to not go into the city. And that's not what we're saying. But the Orioles are the difference maker, because I'm sitting in there, and I even said to Lou, I'm like, last summer, nobody's sitting at your bar making an appointment with their wife over a $100 meal, right? To sit here and have a beef Wellington and watch a ball game in a beautiful space, in a comfortable chair, like in a good environment, but like literally want to sit down at 6:15 and have a tablecloth and watch the Orioles play. That's going to happen for as long as Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, you know, that's going to happen the next couple of years here in a way that's never happened. And everywhere I've gone the last month, people want to talk about my original family business, Aparicio. They want to talk about baseball with me. So, and they think, oh, Peter, this, and I'm re-releasing the Peter principles. I almost have a sense of humor 20 years later, you know, after all that went on, because it taught me so much about life and bad people and money and intent and how to be awful. Peter Angelos taught me how to be awful and how not to treat people ever, no matter how much money I have, how much whatever I would have. And there's a point with baseball for me being back and being alive and vibrant again that I feel the heartbeat of the city coming together in a way that, as I told Michael Elias, this is why I fought with the old man for years, is to make this good again. And when it's good again, it's good in Falston again, too. And it's good in Reisterstown. It's good in Westminster. It's good in Annapolis. It's good everywhere.
Well, here's another positive benefit of technology. Every Oriole game, there's a group text between me and my two sons. One's here in Baltimore for now. He's like,
even the Friday night game you couldn't watch on Apple TV, or are you one of those guys that got you're teched up? You have Apple TV, right?
I do.
I should come to your house Friday night. Next time they're on Apple TV, I'm coming over to your house instead of fighting with all this ish.
You're welcome to it. But we have a group text every game, and every hit. Like last night, I was out at a event, and I get a text, Gunner, with multiple exclamation points, you know, so I'm not watching the game at the time, but I know he must have gone yard or done something, you know,
I'm speaking your language. I'm not nuts to say that this baseball thing has changed your daily habits in a way that brings you back to the nostalgia of caring about it, right?
And maybe what I can do is circle back and tidy this whole thing up and talk about networking and baseball and how they go together. So those people who know me, I network pretty well, and I enjoy meeting good people. But everyone who's networked knows you go, you sit at a table. I saw you were around a table of 10. I was around a table of 10. You talk, everyone talks about what they do, and then you leave and nothing happens. I mean, that's what.
No, something happens. You pile up the cards, and then you get Memorial Day weekend, and you actually go through and connect with people, because that's literally what this pile of cards is. Literally.
Well, you're a little bit more proactive than some. In fact, I don't want to be rude, but I will use the word. I was at a table of rookies who don't know how to network, and I said, "Why don't we just go around the table and just for a couple minutes talk about what we do?" And as a gentleman, I decided to let everyone go first. And when it was my turn, the program started. And I'm like, I wonder what these people are going to do when this program's over.
Yeah, I already had Ryan Ripken's card here. Yeah. And I already had Jake Jacobson's card before the thing even started. So, like, just so you know.
Yeah. So after the event was over, I'm like, I wonder if these people are going to give me the courtesy of the 1 minute to tell them what I do since I was cut off. As soon as the event was over, they all got up, they all left, and I was not surprised. But let's talk about baseball and networking. I think
Bill Camden Yards, Mike, did it not in the 90s, like the club sections, it was the golf course for this city.
And it can be anything, but a dear friend of mine taught me about mound ball. Are you familiar with mound ball?
Go. You taught me pickleball, so I mean, why not teach me mound ball?
Okay, so this is a tip to all your listeners. I'm going to give credit to Michael Gordon, who's the one who taught me about mound ball.
Okay.
So I'm going to paint the picture. You're there with 8, 10, 12 people. You're either all in a row or you're smart and you do six in front and six in back so you can kind of talk to each other. And every half inning, it starts with the bottom of the first. The first person's holding an empty cup and everyone puts a dollar in. So you put a dollar in, there's $12 in the cup.
This is a gambling game.
Not gambling, it's
Okay.
all fun. At the
Okay.
end of every inning, if you don't pay attention, the umpire takes a brand new ball and rolls it to the mound for the pitcher to warm up after the bottom of each inning or after each half inning. If the ball stays on the mound and doesn't roll off, then the person who's holding the cup gets the money.
What if it
If
rolls halfway down? It's still on the mound.
no, if it rolls and it's touching grass, doesn't count. Doesn't
I wonder if
count.
umpires are in on this.
They aren't. So look, I mean, it's not easy to do. So if it's unsuccessful, the $12 cup gets passed to the next person. Everyone puts another dollar in. Now it's
So it's when the
$24.
ball sits up there, the winner takes the cup.
Yes. Now what happens is not only is this good camaraderie, maybe you're drinking a cold beer, you're having a hot dog, whatever, but around you, everyone in your section is wondering what is going on. Now they're not actively putting money in the cup, but now they're watching and they're rooting for what's going on. I've gotten to the point where there was 100 plus bucks in this cup of singles, and there was a close call, and we knew people who were on the other side of the stadium to say, "Is that ball touching the grass?" Because we needed some corroboration. So
You had obstructed view seats from the other side of the mound.
it's exactly there's it's very good
Must
vibes,
have really good seats.
keeps
We're
you
low.
interested. Yeah, keeps you interested. Great networking opportunity to just get to know people. I use the term crossover, which is
My dad and I got to know everybody when we went to games. We talked to people at Oriole games when I was a kid. We would
correct.
always talk to people. There was more space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out in the outfield when I was a kid, just talking to people, spreading out a little bit. That's how I met Howard Scherr at hockey, just talking to people, right? I don't know that people go to games and make lifelong friends anymore by like, hey, where are you from? Lansdowne? Oh, really? You've been an Oriole fan, huh?
Right.
I don't know. Networking's different than fanning, I think, right?
Yeah, for sure. But if you can combine both things, why not? I mean, let's have some fun. You know, we've never talked about this, but my first job when I could drive was for the Orioles. It was at Memorial Stadium. I had two responsibilities because I was promoted. My entry level job was at Memorial Stadium. They used to have these big buses come from bars and churches and things
They
like
parked
that.
right over on third base.
Exactly. And
I remember.
my job with a bunch, I think there was maybe eight of us, was to board every bus, welcome everyone to the stadium on the microphone, give them free swag and order forms for future games. That's what my job was. And
What year?
I must have 2 years. I must have
What
done it
years? What
so.
year? Year 80
This
something?
was the year 83, like
Wow, that's a good year.
after the World Series
Yeah, I
year.
love this stuff. I had Clancy, Fancy Clancy. I mean, I don't need to tell you who he is.
Yeah.
If you don't know, get out of town. But Clancy came up to Falston. His first vending job was 1974 with peanuts. He was 15 years old. Like, I got like, so I didn't know that. Like,
Yeah.
I've known you 25 years. I didn't know you
Right.
worked at the stadium.
Right. I hear's and the next year I was promoted and I was responsible with another guy to take the Oriole inflatable bird that was like 4 stories tall that you connected to a fan and it was holding the bat. And I would do it for specific Oriole games and road trips. I remember once we went to Hershey Park with Al Bunbury, and I was just the guy with another guy manning this inflatable bird. And I remember you had to pull this cord to open the flap to let the air out. And I must have pulled too hard and I ripped it. And that inflatable bird was out of commission for a year because
Broke the bird.
I broke the bird. It was horrible, horrible experience. And then the
That, I
next
can't
year.
believe I've known you all these years and I haven't gotten this out of you. This is a deep, dark baseball story,
Oh,
you know,
yeah. The
like
next
the
year,
time
they
that Frank
hired.
Lucchese chased me around the bases when I swept third base during the Crown Junior Oriole that I won.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the following year, and this was my last job there before I got, jobs during college. I worked with Dan O'Dowd, who was at the time the head of group sales I think, at the Orioles. This was still Memorial Stadium.
He went on to run the Indians and then the Rockies, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now he's on MLB Network, and you know, just interesting times. So love my Birds. After every shift, when I worked there, it was right before, it was during a batting practice. I'd watch them hit balls out, and I'd grab balls to bring to my friends, and I had a pin that allowed me access anywhere. I went up to the press box, ate their food. It was definitely fun. I mean, I love my Orioles. I love the fact that, you know, my kids were Ravens fans because the Orioles stunk when they grew up, but my kids love the Orioles now. It's a beautiful,
you know,
thing.
I did the crab cake tour last month in Essex or Middle River at McFall's Oyster and Reel. You're familiar with McFall's Iron Horse Tavern. And when you've been in there, you've seen all the Jimmy Tyler stuff and Ernie Tyler stuff all over the walls. And I'm Freddie. I know all the Tylers from the clubhouse, but you know, the last month, just having all this baseball come back to me and seeing Ryan Ripken speak and saying, what an impressive young man Cal should be. You know, I sent Cal a note. I'm like, you should be really proud of that young man. Not just because he's Cal's kid or whatever, just I'm in front of a lot of 29-year-olds. He's just an impressive man, Ryan Ripken. So just seeing the baseball tentacles of all that's – Mike Bordick and I did a Chesapeake Feline Association a cat adoption up at Adams Jeep in Aberdeen a couple weeks ago. Just the baseball vibe and getting back out and being a part of it. And I'll say this, and I'll leave you with this. We'll get a crab cake together soon, and certainly we'll talk chief digital officer stuff. But I hope they don't screw this up. You know what I mean? Like, I do not have any confidence in John Angelos or TJ Brightman or anybody, Mrs. Ange, any of these people that think that this is going to be well managed. I hope that everyone has a good experience as they get back down there. I hope they can find employees. I hope public safety for the city, for Brandon, for the police, for the businesses. I just hope that this is the beginning of what I want it to be, you know, which is the beginning of the next good thing that's going to happen here for our city.
We need it. Everyone who can do their, you know, look, they have a unique situation where they can really affect a positive change. You know, I'm waiting for the next milestone, which is let's just get a lease extension signed. So that
now you're talking like a journalist. Look at you.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm talking about a fan of our city and knowing the pain that people of our age and older know about a team leaving. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I hear that the A's are going to move to Las Vegas, I get a sick feeling in my stomach. And every time I see someone from Cleveland, I tell them, I said, I'm not going to tell you that I am a spokesperson for Baltimoreans. We didn't like how we had to get our team, but you didn't care when we lost the Colts and you got your colors back, you know, and I have a real honest discussion with them about jerking us around and Jacksonville getting an expansion team and what the Glazers did. I still don't like the
Buccaneers. I mean, it goes back to the NFL ownership and the leadership being filthy, right? Like, no matter
exactly. So
at every turn.
We know, and we know what happens when you, the gut punch it is when you lose a team, and then you're like, okay, we're a major city. We don't have basketball. We don't have hockey. We don't have football anymore. We have a baseball team. So when I heard the A's were moving, I was like, you know, I kind of feel, you know, they were jerked around with their football team. Their basketball team just moved across the bridge to San Francisco. I feel some compassion to Oakland, and I think we have a lot in common with Oakland. They have a good
and St. Louis
vibe. They have a good.
He's lost two football teams.
Exactly.
Right?
So you know, it's just all about that.
San Diego, where I go, and there ain't no more charge. And they moved them for what?
So they
to
can
play
be
in front of nobody.
Team, a second tier team to the Rams, which are not even a full tier team, but I don't know what type of support they're getting. I think, you know, it's one of those places where a third to, or more are away fans that are coming to LA just to see the team.
Last thing for you, because I talked about this, because you've already brought up, you know, Vegas and the A's and whatever. People ask me why I don't do the road trips the way I used to. First off, I mean, have you seen how the team treats me? Let's start with that. And somebody ran a road trip up to the Yankees game this week. Good for them. I've done 1,000 of them. I do them again. They were some of the greatest days of my life doing trips. And if people wanted to go, I would do it. But here's this. The NFL now is flexing games. So if you have a flight to Arizona, Halloween, they play out there. If you have Thanksgiving weekend booked to go to San Francisco, if you have Christmas week to go to LA, they can move a game. And even Mark Davis, who's the son of a scumbag, said, What are we doing? So we have people think they're coming to Vegas for a game on Sunday. We're going to move that game to Thursday and tell the people in Kansas City or LA or wherever we move the game by 3 days, get a different flight, book different rooms. What are we doing? And this goes back to government having no and a monopoly and them owning the networks and them being able to throw out 30-year vested local journalists and have me at every cocktail party trying to justify why they threw me out or investigate it. So this really does come back to an abuse of power, right? And an abuse of structure. And that's the NFL story. I mean, right up to this week where they're going to flex games and, you know, Brian, who's making his living now running fans, getting drunk all over the country at an exorbitant price, quite frankly. I mean, prices I wouldn't pay, no offense to be more around town, but I didn't charge those prices or anything near that. I didn't have a markup like that, which is why I'm kind of out of that business. But that business isn't even a reliable business for you and your kids to plan a weekend to see the Ravens play in Cleveland. They might move the game to Thursday night. It's crazy.
I hear
It's not
you. I hear
right. It's not right.
you.
And
I
somebody in
hear
New
you.
York should know it, but they're all making too much money. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He's not making too much money, but he's making a living at WebConnection. I haven't given you a chance to talk about all the cool stuff you do to keep me in business. People just go out and hit BaltimorePositive.com and it pops up and it's all beautiful. And part of that is you and Jessica, of course, but making it work and making it work effectively enough that we've been able to grow here the last few years.
Yeah, well, look, my relationship with my clients, they're all unique and different, and they all have different needs. And what I enjoy working with most of them, but definitely with you, is we don't often always talk about bits and bytes and website and clicks and analytics as much as, having another executive level person to talk business about. I mean, there's certain things that transcend the web and websites and mobile apps and social media, which is kind of core to what we do. But just talking about the business and the good and the bad, the ugly, and what and how to position an organization, that's just entrepreneurship and executive leadership stuff, which I love doing with each of my clients. And then we figure out how to deliver results. So you've always been, I think your listeners know, you're pretty straightforward. You tell it the way it is. And when someone is willing to be that way, it allows for more people to help them. And I'll get back to kind of how we started. I found Ryan Ripkin's presentation to be extremely enlightening. I'm not one of those people who fawns over people who are famous or their children. But what I found about him was, first of all, it wasn't a prepared speech. It was question and answer. And he was extremely honest to the point where he's like, I recognize that I didn't grow up the way normal people do. It was normal for me. But he seemed exceptionally grounded, transparent, open, and relevant to what's going on in society. And I think that's why you and I both kind of found him to be, a breath of fresh air, because it was just an
Well,
honest
we've been to a
discussion.
million of those events. I ain't never been to one like that. That was unique.
It was definitely, he presented himself very well. He's like everyone else trying to figure out, okay, what's like life like after baseball? And oh, by the way, I'm trying to figure that out at 29, when most young people figure it out in their young 20s. And I wish him luck. I'm a pretty good judge of who's got kind of it, and I think he does, so he'll figure it out. But it doesn't make it any less stressful when you're going through it, and that's what he's going through now. And it was just kind of very interesting to hear that.
He is Mike Rosenfeld. He networks and he watches the Orioles and sometimes puts up with me. You said unique clients, and I'm thinking none have hair this good. He is at Web Connection. You can find him out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. I am letting my flow go. The Bruno Mars Dancing in the Rain inspired me on Preakness weekend. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out at lots and lots of places this summer. I'm putting a full itinerary together through the Memorial Day weekend. You will want to be a part of it. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We did have some winners at the local. in Falston. Jay Ellenby joined me and told stories of me running in my underwear through downtown Baltimore in the 90s. Clancy Haskett, Fancy Clancy, as you know him, talked beer and Oriole baseball and what it would mean to him to have him win. He almost made me cry talking about Adam Jones dumping beer all over his head when they clinched in 14 and pulling him on the field. So great, great stories. Great meal up at the local. Great crab cake up there. Also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. 866-90-NATION is the way to get a hold of our friends at Window Nation. It is the end of the month, and I want to say this. Buy two, get two free. Still same deal. 5 years, 0% financing, but this is the last month for it, so it will not be offered in June. You got a week left. If you still got May, take advantage of that. I know Mike was looking for some windows, too. Hurry, Mike. Get it done. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.